All right, welcome to Serenity Church. Can we just give it up for Will for putting all these videos together? You know, he does work at a bank full time, and he spends lots of his spare time working on this stuff. And can we just give it up for Jennifer, who always does my slides for me? Raise your hand, Jennifer. She is awesome. It just makes it so easy for me. And there's so many ways for y'all to jump in and serve here if you want to in the most unexpected ways. Just want to say welcome to everyone online that's watching. Like, welcome home. You know, I just turned 50 years old. And, you know, it wasn't very long ago that, man, in my mind, like, 50 is way out there. That's old, like old, like nursing home old, like life is over, old. And then just like that, you know, here we are. But, you know, I've received so many texts and messages, and hey, man, God is using you, and we're so grateful for you and Jesselyn and all that God is doing through you. And I just can't help but think about all of you guys that come. Like, if you didn't come, like, we would just be speaking to an empty room. Like, yeah. I just want to say that we love you and thank you for trusting us, for trusting Serenity Church, for believing in the vision, and just seeing radically transformed lives. Man, we're just so grateful for you guys. Tonight we're having a birthday night. Typically we have a Bible class and an overcomers meeting after the service. Also at 4 o'clock have the prayer meeting that everyone's mentioned, but we just mention it because it's so powerful. Yeah. And it's amazing. And if you haven't experienced that, I just want to once again invite you to that. So here we are, the last week of our series on Sabbathing. I'm still not convinced that's a word. You know, Aunt Lori's spell check changed hers to sunbathing. And Jesselyn's was Sabbathing. And mine said sabotaging. It really did. I put these little notes and I put a header. And then as the weeks go, if I get something, I put it on the notes. And I was looking for my notes. I couldn't find Sabbathing. But then I had this weird one that said sabotaging at the top of it. It just changed it. So I don't know if that's an omen or not. But this message is for me because it's something that I, you know, don't give much thought to and don't really try to put into practice. But man, I've learned a lot from everybody that has spoken and just from doing some research. It's for me. We need to look at this. We need to implement this into our lives. But I'm still not convinced it's a word. So anyway, how many of us feel like we're just anxious and we're just overwhelmed by all the stuff that we have to do? Anybody? Like, you see it here in the way people answer the question, how you doing? About 10 years ago, it used to be fine, or it used to be I'm good. But today, what is it now? Busy. I'm busy. And it can be frustrating because it seems like the more we do and the harder we work, the more we have to do on the other side of our hard work. And we're just going and going and going, like we're on this treadmill moving faster and faster. And one day you think, man, I don't know that I can go any faster. I don't know if I can do any more. I'm exhausted. Time with the Lord sometimes falls by the wayside. Time in the Word falls by the wayside. And unless I'm just being real. There's moments when unless I need a word for a message or a group or an event or a something, which is always happening, I'm just keeping it real. And I need to have those moments with the Lord when we just are alone with Him, just to be with Him. And naturally, we think, well, I'm tired. You know, I'm just tired. And when we think that, you know, if you're tired, you can take a nap, right? You can get through the weeks to a vacation. But many of us, we've tried that, right? And we're still struggling. And I just want to pose the question, is it possible that we might think that we're tired, but we really aren't tired, we're really just depleted? And if that's the case, then we're going to need to be refilled. Yes. So just talking about the Sabbath, let's just read it out of the Bible. I just wanted to read it. It's in the Ten Commandments. It's pretty important. And by the way, this is actually the longest commandment in the Bible. Like, he spent more time, more words on this one than any of the other ones. And he didn't call it sabotaging, but we could be doing that if we don't. It's right out of the Ten Commandments. Let's just look at it. Exodus 20, verse number 8, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, like set apart. It says, 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. Can you imagine like having someone over at your house on that day and be like, hey, bro, we're chilling today. You're in my house, and it's what the Lord says. It says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. So listen, why is it, why is it that we think that we need to keep all the other nine commandments, but we really don't need to keep this one? Like, we're saved through the grace of Jesus. Okay, let's just get that out. We're not saved through keeping the law. But there are blessings if we keep the Ten Commandments, and there are consequences if we don't. Amen. Okay, but think about it. We can all agree, right? We should have no other gods before him. We shouldn't have any idols. We shouldn't take his name in vain. All right, let's skip the fourth one. Okay, we should honor our mother and father. We shouldn't lie. We shouldn't steal. We shouldn't murder. We shouldn't commit adultery. And we shouldn't covet. Everyone agree with that? Yeah. We should not do that. Non-negotiable. But why is it that we just think that this one's no big deal? It's not really that big of a thing. Or maybe it's just me. But I suspect that many of us have that thought. And so there's a few reasons why God says to rest. One reason is it gives God the opportunity to provide supernaturally for us. Okay, when we don't work for 7 days, it gives God the opportunity to provide for us supernaturally. And so I'm going to read Exodus 16:23. This is where God provided the manna for the Israelites. It says, then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today and boil what you will boil and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. So they laid it up until morning, and as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Now remember, when they started to get the manna, he would tell them, just gather enough manna for one day. Tomorrow I'm going to provide for you again. But they didn't believe him, and so they gathered up way, they're knuckleheads, bro, like just like us. They gathered truckloads of manna because he might not provide tomorrow, and then they put it up, and then the next day it stunk and it had worms in it, okay? But he's saying that if you do this on the Sabbath day, it won't stink or have worms in it. He says to gather it on the sixth day, enough for 2 days, and then the next day it had no worms. So right there, God is doing a supernatural provision in their lives, and he can do that in our lives. Verse 25, then Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. Okay, so he's saying you can work, okay, but you can look, but you're not going to find it. Okay, you can send all the emails you want. You can run all the appointments you want, but you're not going to find. I'm not going to provide on you for that day because I've already given you provision. Like, I'm not going to give you double provision. I mean, it seems like that's what he just said. Yeah. If we bring it to present, he says, "I will provide enough on the sixth day for both days, but if you try to work on the seventh, no provision from me on that day." You will not find it. So do all that you want, guys. You know, and I'm talking to myself. I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to myself. Verse 26, 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but guess what?
None.
They found none. Verse 28, and then the Lord said to Moses, And what he probably wants to say to many of us, myself included, is, man, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? Verse 29, see, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out from his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. So God is trying to give us a day off. He's trying to give us a gift a day off. And it's interesting because the Ten Commandments are also written in Deuteronomy 5, but he switches it a little bit from remember to observe, okay? And he also adds in there, he points out that they should observe this because they were once slaves and now I've redeemed you. And that's important because back in the day, like slaves never got a day off. Slaves never got a day off. Sun up to sundown, working, working, working. Only people got a day off were the wealthy, the elite, the royalty. They were the only people that got a day off. And so he's trying to say, hey, you were a slave and I brought you out of slavery, out of bondage, and now you get a day off. And I want to just think about our lives, man. During the week, we're slaves, some of us, slaves to our schedule, slaves to work, slaves to emails, slaves to our calendar, slaves to appointments. We have the pressure of providing. We're slaves to provision. But he's saying, hey, man, one day a week, you're free. One day a week, you don't have to work. You're free. I'll provide for you. I will take care of you. Like God's trying to give us this gift, man, and it seems to me it's kind of like tithing, isn't it? It's like God can do more with 90% than I ever could with 100%. God can do more with 6 days than I ever could with 7 days. And it also seems to be just as difficult to start doing as tithing, honestly. But God is saying, I can provide if you just trust me. Another reason is it gives us an opportunity to rest and to be refreshed. Exodus 31, it says, you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For anyone who does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from his people. Verse 15, he says it again. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Listen to this again. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Like that's pretty square business right there. He said it twice in two verses. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout the generations. Okay, so remember, we've been grafted into the family, the Israelite family. We've been grafted in. It says to observe the Sabbath throughout the generations as a perpetual covenant. How long is perpetual?
Forever.
Thank you. It's forever. Verse 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. It's really cool. This is interesting. It's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Again, how long is forever? Perpetual. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So this is the Lord is saying, God Almighty took a day to be refreshed. And if you look that word refreshed up, in the Hebrew, it actually means to breathe in. And if you think about when he created the heavens and the earth, he's speaking, he's breathing out. He breathed into man and we became a living soul. And on the seventh day, he took a breath. I mean, we have this thing in us sometimes. It's like, hey man, let me just catch my breath before you give me that bad news. It's important to be refreshed. And if God needs to be refreshed, we probably need to be refreshed. But getting back to the Sabbath being a great sign to the world for thousands of years, because no other nation other than Israel rested one day a week. And so just to bring it current, other countries would be like, hey, man, they would email Israel, hey, man, I'm going to be in town on Saturday, and we're going to finish that business contract. And Israel would email back and be like, nah, man, we don't work on the seventh day. And they'd email back and be like, what do you mean you don't work on the seventh day? He's like, yeah, we rest on the seventh day because God rested on the seventh day after he created the heavens and the earth. And they'd be like, God who? Who are you talking about, God? Who's this? You mean we didn't come from monkeys and a big bang? It was a way that they shared their faith. It was a way they could witness to people. It was a great sign to the world. The third reason is there are consequences when we don't rest. Numbers 15:32. Now when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man, check this out, gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. Gathering sticks. Fire probably went out. It's like, man, I need some sticks real quick. Verse 33, and those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. Verse 34, they put him under guard. They like handcuff this dude. They just make sure he doesn't gather any more sticks. I guess, because it had not been explained to them what should be done to them. And then in verse 35, the Lord said then to Moses, this man must surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp. And so, as the Lord commanded Moses, all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. That seems pretty severe to me. I think about all the things that I've done that are way worse than gathering sticks. And so, not only does God obviously think it's important that we observe or remember the Sabbath, but man, we can get some hope, man, that we're not living back then, and that there's grace and mercy just overflowing our lives for all the things that we can do, man. I mean, this guy got put to death. There's four things, four of the commandments that call for the death penalty, okay? Murder, adultery, not keeping the Sabbath, and check this one out. Where are the kids at? Rebellious children. Seriously, so you can tell them, hey, buddy, you'd be dead if you lived back then. I'm just saying. But why would not keeping the Sabbath be up there with murder and adultery? Like, that's one of the questions that I'm going to ask him. Well, you know, like, we all have our list of questions we're going to ask God. Like, hey, what were you writing in the sand when you caught that girl in adultery? This is another one. Hey, man, why keeping the Sabbath is it up there? But let me ask you this, man. Are you putting yourself to death by not resting? Are you killing yourself in your work? Work, 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 there are consequences. You know, it's fun. I was taking a class maybe 6 months ago or so. It's called Intro to the Prophetic. And there's this prophetic guru lady. She's awesome. And there was just two of us in it. And so we got all this attention. We got all this one-on-one, like, learning about prophecy and all this stuff. And now the class has like 50 people in it, and they don't get any attention. I feel awesome. But anyway, it was an 8-week class. It met on Tuesdays, and there was a day that one of us couldn't be there. And it was one of those classes where you can't miss. And so because there was only three of us, the teacher and two of us, you know, we're like, well, let's do it on another day. Okay, let's just pick a day. What's the day's good for you? And then it was like, well, let's just do it Sunday after church since we're all here. And she's like, no, that's my Sabbath day. And we were like, all right, well, can we just do it on, I know it's your Sabbath day, that's cool. Can we just do it on Sunday? Because that's when we're all free. And she's like, why don't you just ask me to commit adultery? Why don't you just ask me to, I mean, it hit me. And I didn't know that this series was coming, but we actually did end up doing it on Sunday, but she took Monday off from work so she could have her day. Like, she took a PTO day. It was that important to her. And that just struck me, man. It isn't this interesting. Check this out. This is 2 Chronicles 36:20. This is when they were taken out of the land for 70 years, okay? This is still talking about the consequences of not resting. And so they get conquered. They're in slavery for 70 years. But it says, and those who escaped from the sword, he carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath, as long as she lay desolate, she kept the Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Okay, so what this is saying is, back in the day, they were supposed to take the seventh year. They were supposed to not plow any crops. They were supposed to let the land rest. Okay, 6 years good, seventh year, let it be. Okay, but they're, you know, let's go, man. I got to get that money. You know, I got to stack that paper, and they're selfish. And so they did it on the seventh year. You know, and as time went on, like, apparently God has a giant whiteboard up in heaven, and he just put a mark up there. And then 7 more years, and he put a mark up there. And then 7 more years, he put a mark up there. And so it says that the land was 70 years of Sabbath that they were behind. And if you're a math person, that means for 490 years, they did this. And so if you were doing something for 490 years, would you think to yourself, I'm probably getting away with this.
Yeah.
You don't get away with it. God took his children out of the land, and they were slaves for 70 years, so the land could enjoy their Sabbaths. Guys, if God cares about land, how much more will he care about us? Unfortunately, there may be consequences for some of us that aren't observing this. Maybe some of us are going to die a few years early because we're just working. And it's just because we just won't receive a gift, some of us, man. Like, he's a good father. He's trying to give a good gift, and we just won't receive it. It's so crazy when you think about it. So now I want to, that's kind of the Sabbath in the Old Testament. Basically, the takeaway is God is square business about the Sabbath. It's pretty important to him. There's benefits from doing it, and there's consequences from not doing it. So now I want to take it a little New Testament, and this is for us crazy folks that do way too much, and we think we can ignore this one, or frankly just fall into the trap of, you know, like many of us do when we come to Serenity and we just get clean and we're just like, man, you know, I'm clean, so man, anything else is fine because I'm clean. You know, I don't need to really do anything else or read the word or understand or try to apply God's principles to my life because I'm not getting high today and it's been 47 days. Amen. This is great, but I want to challenge all of you in this. This is for us folk that are maybe depleted and we think we're tired, but we're really depleted. We think we can handle it all. We think we got this, but we really don't. And Jesus made a promise to all those who were tired and exhausted, on the edge of burnout and overwhelmed. Jesus promises to give you rest, not just for your body, but for your soul as well. Matthew 11, 28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." So Jesus is offering us not only rest for our bodies, but rest for our souls. And who is Jesus inviting to come? All. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how far you may feel from him. It doesn't matter how long it's been since you've prayed. It doesn't matter how long it's been since you've opened the word. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how long you've been clean and sober. It doesn't matter if you smoked crack this morning. He says, all, come to me. He's not mad at you. He's not disappointed by you. He loves you just as you are, and he asks you to come to him.
Amen.
Jesus says, come to me, all who are discouraged, who are broken down, who are weary, and I'll give you rest. This word weary in the Greek is this word kopos, K-O-P-O-S, and it actually means exhaustion from intense labor or trouble, weary from a physical or emotional beating. And some of us get that, right? Sometimes life can be like that, right? Sometimes I don't just feel tired, I feel beat down. I just feel wore out, man. Like emotionally, like I don't even know if I can go on anymore. It's this kopos. It's this physical and emotional beatdown. And so back, remember when the Hebrews were slaves in Egypt, like the only value that they had were how many bricks they could make. They're just brick makers. Sun up to sundown, they made bricks. And if you made more bricks than that guy, well, you had more value because you made more bricks, and we need bricks. But this was more than just like a physical draining. I mean, you're out in the desert making bricks. I'm sure it's physically draining, but this was like soul-crushing, mind-numbing work.
Yeah.
Sun up to sundown, every single day making bricks. I mean, some of you know this kopos well. Some of your jobs can be kopos. Parenting can be kopos. Sponsoring a knucklehead that calls you 20 times a day can be kopos. Being married to someone away from Jesus can be kopos. Being married to someone with Jesus can sometimes be kopos. Just kidding. Just trying to make ends meet can be kopos. And we're just down here making bricks, working. no seemingly progress, no end. We're physically drained. We're emotionally exhausted. I'm so glad it's a different day, man. I'm so glad we no longer have to find our self-worth with the number of bricks that we make, right? Or maybe how much money that we make, or how big our house is, or how many views that reel got, or how many likes we have, or if our shirt has the right animal on it or not, or what kind of shoes we wear, Eric Moore. You're supposed to laugh at that, bro. So I saw him yesterday. He said, I might, may or may not come to church. I'm not sure. I'm like, you got to come. I wrote you into the sermon.
Yeah, right on.
And so I just wrote him in right there. Because you talk about your shoes all the time, bro. I'm just saying. Or maybe how long you've been clean. Or look, we can fall into this mindset, right? Even today. Maybe it's not bricks, but it's all these other things. How many bricks can you make? How many bricks can you make mindset? But Jesus says, come to me when you're kopos. When you're tired of the grind, when you're tired of the stress, when you're overwhelmed, when you're battling with anxiety, like I'm just tired of making bricks, man. Like I'm tired of getting high and I just can't stop. Jesus says, come. When you think that you should be able to handle it all, but you know that you can't, Jesus says, come. When you don't know what else to do, when you don't even know if you can pray another prayer of faith about that thing, he says, come to me. When you're broken, when you're hurting, when you're discouraged, man, that's powerful. The sinless Son of God is inviting all of us to come to him. And I want you to remember that word all. That's going to be a theme from here on out. All of us are invited. And then he says something interesting. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So a yoke is like a wooden cross piece. There's a picture of it. And it attaches two animals together so that they can work together. So Jesus is inviting us. Okay, are you tired? Are you exhausted? Do you need a rest? Well, come to me and I'm going to put a weight around your neck. That's basically what he's saying. I mean, that was supposed to be a joke, but but he's saying, come to me and be joined with me. Because the purpose of a yoke is not for a single animal. It's to be joined with another animal so that they can both work at the same pace. And so Jesus is inviting us to join him, to work with him, tapping into his power, and that we would actually work at a different pace. Like if you read about Jesus, like he was always busy, but he was never rushed. And he always had something to do, but he often disconnected from everyone to go spend time with his Father. And we can do that. Aunt Lori talked about that in her message, how we can have these little mini Sabbaths throughout our day. And I remember when I first, y'all hear me talk about the declarations that I declare over my life. Before I had them laminated so I could put them in my shower and say them every day, I would take these little, you know, I'd forget to do them in the morning. And then I'd had an alarm on my phone and I would just take 10 minutes through the day, go into the bathroom at work and just read these things over my life. These little mini can fill us up. But we need to learn from Jesus. He was always busy, but he was never rushed. And we can do, Jesus is saying in a nutshell, if you join with me and if you learn from me, you'll find rest for your souls. And this is so interesting because the word that's translated rest here in the Greek is this word anapausin. I guess it's anapausin. And it actually means inner rest or peace while doing what needs to be done, or peaceful productivity. So it's not rest from work, it's rest during work. And he says, come to me and be joined together by a work tool with me so you can work at my pace. And when you work at my pace, you're not gonna be weary, but I'm gonna give you rest, not from work. I mean, serving God is busy, it keeps you busy, but I'm gonna give you rest from doing these things, but rest while doing these things, while working. It's a different kind of rest. And this is what he's inviting us into. And it's a rest from striving. It's a rest from trying to prove ourselves. It's a rest from me having to have the strength to get it all done. Man. Guys, your value does not come from what you do, what you produce, being a good mom, providing for your family. It's solely based on who you are in Christ. And so what is the Jesus kind of rest? Okay, rest is whatever focuses you, even in the midst of work, even in the midst of busy, whatever focuses you on the grace, the goodness, and the glory of God. Amen. That's real rest. That's a different kind of rest. That's a soul rest. And so what focuses us on? The goodness of God. Maybe Shay talked about going in the restroom and praying at the toilet when he feels overwhelmed last week. Worship will focus me on the goodness of God. Reading God's word daily to renew my mind and actually be transformed into the image of Christ, not just for a message or an event or to have a little thing that I can give someone because I'm supposed to do that because I'm a pastor, but actually being transformed. Serving, feeding the homeless, so many things focus, but a lot of it is just having the awareness in that moment and thinking about the goodness of God, because you know the big book tells us that selfishness and self-centeredness is the root of our troubles. And when we get tired and beat down and exhausted, it's because we're thinking about us, we're thinking about what I have to do, what I need to do tomorrow. I hope this thing doesn't work out this way because it's going to inconvenience me. We need to focus our minds on Him and listening and acknowledging the goodness of God. Man, I prayed for that in our 4 o'clock prayer meeting. God, that we would never, ever, ever not be just mind blown away by your grace and mercy. Amen. It's just overflowing. Maybe meeting a newcomer at Starbucks and just listening to them will focus you on the grace, glory, and goodness of God. I think the AA Big Book on page 86, it gives a really good description of this kind of, and it's awesome. It says, as we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. Let me just stop right there. If you just applied that one thing to your life, it would change your life. Yeah. Now, this is right in the heart of about 25 suggestions in the 10th and 11th step. But if you just did that one thing, it would change your life. As we go through the day, we pause. Just pause when agitated or doubtful and ask God for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we're no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, thy will be done, focusing on the grace and goodness of God. We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. I used to think, what's so bad about excitement? I like being excited. Well, guess what, bro? I make bad decisions when I'm excited. I do dumb things when I'm excited. So we're in less danger of being that if we can pause and say, your will, not mine, be done. We're in less danger of all those things, fear, worry, self-pity, foolish decisions. We become, check this out, we become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we're not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we're trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. That's a rest in the midst of work. That can be that. And then the shortest paragraph in the big book. Did y'all know that? It works, it really does. Yeah. It works, it really does. We alcoholics or drug addicts or codependents or overcomers, fill in the blank, whatever you are undisciplined. Guys, we're undisciplined. Yeah. I know you might think you're disciplined, but we're undisciplined. So we let God discipline us in the simple way that we have just outlined. And I love the big book because it's so just precise instructions. I mean, I call it the cliff notes for spiritual living. And the band can come back up. I'm way behind on that. And so, you know, I just want to, I closed last week with, you know, this at Life Fellowship with this. I want to just break down the gospel real quick, right out of Romans. Because some of us may be away from God. Some of us may be backslidden. Maybe we're coming to church, we got that mask screwed down tight. We're not letting anybody know what's really going on in our lives. And yes, I'm gonna pray a prayer, and yes, you can do the prayer with me and get saved. You can do that. But the prayer is nowhere in the Bible, first of all. But what is in the Bible is very simple. And it's Romans 10, verse number 10. It says, for by believing in your heart, It is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God. It is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. So you believe with your heart, you declare it with your mouth. You don't just have to pray a rote prayer because some pastor wants you to pray that prayer. Let it come from your heart. Whatever is in your heart, okay? As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. All who call on him. There it is all. It's right there in, we just read it. Jesus says, all to come to me. It's saying it in Romans to get saved. All who call on him. Gangsters, ex-gangsters, drug dealers, prostitutes, crackheads, thieves, all who call on him, he will give generously to. Verse 13, for everyone, here it is again, not just the pastors, not just the life group leaders, not just the worship team, not just the people who are picking up years of sobriety, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so, yes, I'm going to do a prayer. And yes, you can pray that prayer from your heart. But man, I'd like to see you just, man, because they're going to do a song, and then I'm going to come back and pray us out, and we're going to just sit and rest for 3 minutes while they pray a song and just experience 3 minutes of rest. And maybe in that time, maybe, just maybe, the Holy Spirit might tap on your heart that, hey, man, I want you to get right with me. And so it's based on this scripture, it's just as easy as calling on the name of Jesus. Whatever that looks like from your heart with as much faith as you can muster, as much faith as you can drum up. You know, he says, we just need a mustard seed. Man, just grab somebody, anybody, and just pray and say, Jesus, man, I'm calling on your name. Because you say it right here in your word, that anyone who calls on your name, I don't understand it, I don't believe it, maybe I can't explain it, but you say it right here that anyone who calls on your name will be saved. So I'm a sinner and I need you, Jesus, and I want to be right with you right now. Whatever that looks like, you know, it doesn't have to be the prayer that some pastor says for you to repeat. Let it come from your heart, man, with faith. I mean, he says it in, I gotta find it here, in Hebrews 4. Come on, yes, there it is. 4:14, just real quick, because this is saying all again. Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Okay, it's saying that he walked in the flesh. Yes, he didn't sin, but he sympathizes with us, man. So if you think right now, oh, I can't pray that prayer because I've done this and this and this and this and this, and I'm doing this and this and this and this, and I'm not doing this and this and this. He's saying he sympathizes with you because he walked in this flesh and he sympathizes with you, man. And because of that, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may find grace and obtain mercy to help us in our time of need. So, yes, he sympathizes with you if you just got high this morning. He sympathizes with you if you watched pornography 15 minutes ago. He sympathizes with you if you've done that thing that you promised you would never do again and you feel so shameful and so, like, you're barely even here because of that. It's saying he sympathizes, and he's saying, come boldly. It says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I can't talk about that part unless I talk about the rest of Romans 10. This is for those of you that maybe are saved, that are sitting there and you're not even really paying attention right now because, oh, this is a salvation moment and I'm good and I just had Thanksgiving and I'm going to go home and chill because life is good. Verse 4, so 13 says, everyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. Verse 14 says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless somebody tells them? Guys, you don't got to go get a doctorate degree for this. This is simple. And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That's why the scriptures say how beautiful are the feet of the messengers of those who bring the good news. And I know we just had Thanksgiving and some of us had a wonderful time. We ate food and watched football and had family. But man, there's people in this time that are struggling, man. There's people that are that hate this time of year because there's so much trauma and so much just disappointment and depression and anxiety stuff. There's so much of it for some people. So maybe, just maybe, yes, you might be saved and you might be good, but maybe God is calling on you to get up off of your butt and go step into someone's dark moment and bring the good news, bring some encouragement. How beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news. Amen. And then you get to be used by God, man. Yeah. And there ain't a feeling in the world that touches that. Amen. So the worship team is going to do a song, and then I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and we're just going to rest for 3 minutes. I didn't talk too long tonight, so we can rest for 3 minutes, all right? And just see what God has for us. And I know it's hard for us to just sit with him sometimes. Maybe it's just me. But we're going to do that tonight, and just open your hearts to him, man. And try to hear what he has to say to you. And try to hear, maybe there's someone in your circle of influence, man, that you can step into their darkness. You can step into their moments. Yeah, they got their smiley face on and they're eating turkey too, but man, they're dying inside. All right. I'm going to let the worship team go. Thank you, guys. I'll be right back.
Okay, not the smoothest of transitions, but here we go. Y'all stand up and sing this one with us.
So love. it is well. I'm walking in freedom, for God so loves, God so loves the world. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting. God so loved the world.
So that is the gospel. We need to share that. But right now, Pastor Logan asked us to go back and make room.
Well, we're going to call an audible here.
Oh, we are?
Yes.
Okay, so, well, we're calling a second audible.
We're calling a second audible. We're just going to sit. Let's just sit in silence for 2 minutes. Can everybody sit down?
And just
open your hearts. I know it can be awkward. If this is difficult for you, you might need to go back through the fourth and fifth step again, because one of the promises in the fifth step is that we can be alone at perfect peace and ease. And so just open your hearts to God. Try not to look at your phones. It's just 2 minutes. Then I'm going to pray us out, and then we're going to celebrate. All right. Just rest in Him. So Heavenly Father, we love you so much that we can rest in you. I just pray that you would go before us this holiday season. Your word tells us that we are the light of the world. We don't have to try to be the light. Your word says we are light. And so God, I pray that we would just be exactly who you created us to be. As we're around family and loved ones and maybe people that are hurting, God, give us words to say. Give us encouragement for others. Just bring us joy and laughter and peace that just overflows us and just spills all over onto everyone else that we come across. And if there's somebody here that's away from Jesus, man, you need to know that He loves you. He's not mad at you. Nothing takes Him by surprise and nothing handcuffs Him. There's nothing that He can't free you from. Jesus will meet you right where you're at. And just, if you just want to pray this prayer, just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I'm calling on your name. Because your word says that anyone that calls on your name will be saved, and I'm calling on your name because I want to be saved. I want to be right with God. Not because of what the preacher said, not because of what my family that drug me in here wants me to do, but because you say it in your word, and I'm holding you to your word right now, Jesus. I'm a sinner, and I need you, Jesus. Man, come into my life, transform me, change me, make me new. I confess with my mouth that you're the Son of God, and I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, and I will follow you the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Yeah.